Welcome back to the studio podcast. It is Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. I am thinking about the content for the podcast, and initially, especially in season one, it was focused around fine art photography. There was writing, there was poetry readings, I had journal entries included also. Lately, it's just been really hard for me to focus on my career and the different aspects of that I would like to share, because there's been a lot of things going on in the country that is just hard for me to overlook. It's hard to swallow. And I tried to record yesterday and a couple of days ago, and it's just the only thing I have on my mind right now is the news. And so I decided to, and I was wrestling back and forth with it, but I decided to talk about the news. Man, I just been thinking about resolutions, answers. We all know what the problems are in the United States, but I'm trying to think of ways to solve the problems, because it seems like we are not only having the same problems that we've always had as far as gun violence, police reform, problems in the economy, that type of thing, but I mean, everything's just been getting worse. It hasn't been getting better. And what the past 2-3 weeks have been really bad, as far as just headlines in the news, and the Tyre Nichols case really jumps out at me. I didn't watch all of the video footage. I've seen clips of what happened, and I let the information kind of trickle out, and then certain things changed, and so I waited, and I really didn't want to have this knee-jerk reaction and respond right away. I really wanted to get as much information as I could and then share my heart, my reaction of it, which on the surface of it, I mean, it's the same thing as everyone else in terms of just being shocked, sad, hurt. It's tough to swallow. It's tough to swallow. And we've seen incidents like this before, but it's always switched to race, where you would have, you know, they would say a white police officer shooting a black person, right? Or using excessive force. And with Nichols, you have five black police officers part of the Scorpion unit. They just basically beat this 29-year-old black person, basically beat him to death. And the steps of, you know, trying to improve these types of issues, the steps were taken, I think, because the body cams were there. We didn't have body cams before. You have street cameras, and I saw some footage of that. I believe their police chief there in Memphis, Tennessee, black woman, she comes across as like she cares about the community. And it's not just someone holding a position. She comes across like she genuinely cares. And I also was listening to another suggestion to say, okay, in black communities, you need black police officers, you know, someone who can relate to the people in the community that they're serving. And I mean, it still didn't help. And then all the cries that you had about defunding the police, I really didn't pay any attention to that because that's just a ridiculous solution. But the problem really is personnel. And I think in a, not only in the, you know, police units, I just think across the board, whether it's in education, in government, you have too many of the wrong people with power, with authority. You just have too many people with power and authority that are like they're not the right people to be put in those positions for several different reasons. But really, we need people in positions of power that genuinely care about the people that they represent, and we don't have nearly enough of that across the board. It just seems like everyone's in a certain position for themselves. And I shouldn't say everyone, but it's just, again, too many people. And it's becoming a problem. Well, not becoming a problem. It's been a problem for several years. So, solution. One of the things that jumped out at me just overall with police units is that when something really bad happens, I mean, you have incidents where police just don't respond at all. They just don't respond at all, or they're slow to respond. One example that came to mind, well, I was thinking about this earlier today, the Louisiana, a storm was hurricane, major hurricane was coming through, and you had video footage from the city cameras of police just leaving, walking off their post where they were supposed to be, because they were not willing to handle that type of situation. They just weren't. And then I also thought about what happened in Uvalde with the children in the school. And you had a gunman in the classroom, you had police around the perimeter of the school, you had police in the hallway, but no one really engaged the shooter for what was, it was like 45 minutes to almost an hour. Like nobody did anything. So, and then the other thing I thought about, the incident that was in the mall, and I'm sorry, I forget the city, but it was like a shopping center, and the police were called, and it took the police what it was like 11 to 12 minutes to get there. And when they did arrive, they found out that a citizen who lawfully owned a gun ended up taking out the shooter in the shopping center before the police got there. Otherwise, more people would have gotten hurt. But but again, it took the police 11, 12 minutes to get to where they were needed. And so I just, and there's more, you know, incidents like this. And then there's the whole thing about gun control. You had what it was a few months ago, the Walmart employee, I think it was in Virginia, legally purchased a weapon in Walmart, then went to the break room and started shooting his his coworkers. I mean, it's like you can't make this stuff up. You really can't. And people start talking about gun control. On that end of it, I have people in my family who own guns, right? And I'm not afraid to visit them, go to their house, have dinner or that type of thing, because I know them. I know how they are. I just know them. Like, they're the type of people who are reasonable, responsible, not crazy. They won't fly off the handle and just grab their guns and start shooting other people, that type of thing, right? But everybody's not like that. But I never found myself to the point where it's like, well, just everyone's going to have to give up their firearms because of how often the wrong types of people are getting their hands on these weapons and just shooting other people, killing other people. On that end of it, I don't think that there's a way to create some type of law, because we've got people passing background checks. They're going through whatever it is you need to go through to own a weapon, because I don't own any guns. But they go through all that stuff, and still it's just you end up with problems, right? You end up with problems. And I think I've heard that most of the time the weapons used in these crimes are weapons that people have illegally. Lord knows where they get them, you know. So there's that problem. And so I can't tell a reasonable person like, oh, you can't have a weapon when you've got so many just crazies running around with guns. Because if you create a law that no one can own a gun, a firearm, the people who don't follow the law in the first place are going to get all the guns. And then there's no place for the people who want to act lawfully to protect themselves. It's just, there's just no way. There's no way that would work. We've been in this system for so long, there's no turning that off. Now, the only broad resolution I've come up with, and this probably doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to go with it anyway, and this is probably another reason why I would never be elected in as a as an official of some kind, or in politics or in government. But I would actually have the military involved with the local police departments around the country. And I'm not saying drive tanks down the street and all this type of stuff. I'm saying to the point where too often the police are called. And again, one, they take a long time to get where they're supposed to be. And two, once they get to where they're supposed to be, they do not want to engage in any type of shootout that might happen. They don't want to do that, right? So those type of people, they don't need to be called. They can do things like traffic stops, regular violations of some kind. But in instances where there's a shooter, an active shooter on the scene, you can't call them, because they're not, first of all, they're not going to get there in a timely manner. And then when they do get there, they're going to be cautious. And their main priority is going to be to save their own lives. It's not going to be to protect the lives of the people in the community that they serve. So you have to replace those types of officers with people who are actually trained to be in that type of situation. And who are more used to being in that type of situation. And the only people I can think of is people in the military. And God bless them, because I don't know how they do it. My brother-in-law was 20 years in the Army. My youngest nephew, he graduated high school. He was already in ROTC, went straight into the military. Now he's a weapons specialist and a marksman. I don't know how they do it. It's like, it's a different type of person that says, I want to go into the military. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. I mean, they have a different mindset. And now we're asking the police officers in the community to go into these bad neighborhoods, high crime, a lot of gun violence. And the police officers are getting paid what? And they have what kind of training? And even if you train them the way you're supposed to, are they willing to go and put themselves in that situation? Too often is no. They're not willing to be put into that situation. And so the first thing I would do, if I'm bringing in the military, the National Guard, I would start with the cities that need them the most. These high crime areas in the major cities, start there first, right? I need them to assess the personnel situation. Somebody needs to assess the personnel situation. We need to know what types of people are serving these communities as police officers. We need to do that first. If you are not the right type of person, we do not need you with a badge and a gun and a taser and a baton. If you don't have the right temperament, if your whole reason for joining the force is just to have some type of authority over the community, you need to go. And the thing that really got me upset about what happened in Memphis with Nichols is that this Scorpion unit, as I've heard on the news, they already had complaints from the people in the community to the police department about that specific unit. There was already complaints on the books about this Scorpion unit. So what was done about that? Was anybody looking into that? But we need to know again what type of people are within these police units. That's the first thing. And the people who have a laundry list of complaints against them, go through an assessment and you gather that they have a bad temperament. They're not really a people person. They're hot-headed. They have a quick temper. Or they have like a twitchy trigger finger. It's like, no, they gotta go. They have to go. But I would again, National Guard, I would have select people in the communities, just the police off the police stations, I should say. In the police stations to manage how the police respond, who's actually in the units, and how and when they respond. Because the thing I noticed about my relatives in the military, they are on time. They're on time. They're on time and ready when wherever they're supposed to be, they're ready when they get there, and they get there on time. So that's got to be first. And if you can't be ready and on time, then you can't be in the military. And it's getting so bad in the local communities with crime, with gun violence and these types of things. You've got to be ready. You've got to be on time. And you've got to be willing to engage with shooter or whoever it is that you encounter. And again, the people, too many of the officers in these units, they are not willing to do that. They're just not. Now, from talking with some people in the military, some of them just flat out wouldn't want an office job or just a manager position. They would want to go out into the community and be active in that way, respond to calls. I can leave that on them, right? But if that's their call, I would say, okay, you can be in charge of who's on your unit, on your team. Who would you trust, right? Because we need somebody who to assess who's in these police units. What type of people are we dealing with? And it'll take time to get to know just everybody. But I think ultimately you need police officers to hold police officers accountable, which is something else that didn't happen in the Nichols case. You had EMT arrive. I think members of the fire department arrive, and they left him sitting there slumped up against the car for what it was, 20 minutes. And they didn't check him. How bad was he hurt? It's like, oh my gosh, it's bad. It's bad. It really is. You have to get the right type of people in these positions. And I think part of that is, even from police officers, fire departments, EMT, all that, like everybody has to be paid a better wage, a better annual salary, so that you can attract more quality people. Because a person who can do the job well will look at the annual salary and say, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting paid enough for that. Especially you got to go out there with a vest on, a bulletproof vest, and you got to put your life on the line in these situations, and you're going to pay me what? I can make more money over here, and it's a lot safer. So there's that issue as well. But yes, that's my idea. Initially, you would have specific members from the National Guard in these police stations overseeing manager positions. And then you would also have some of them who want to go into the field, out into the community, along with the police units. Because there's no accountability. There's no accountability. Even with the George Floyd incidents, like you had police officers just standing around looking at the other police officer with his knee on the guy's neck, and I'm like, nobody's gonna say anything. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But across the board, a lot of these people got to be replaced. Just replaced with people who care. with people who know what they're doing. Because if you look at the Nichols footage from their body cams, they're trying to pepper spray him. They don't know how to use the pepper spray. They're fiddling around with the taser. They don't know how to use the taser properly. He ends up running. He runs away after they're trying to detain him. And I'm sitting up there like, this is a part of a special unit. Listen, they said they pulled him over for reckless driving. We don't have any footage from before then, but from where I started, they were already mad when they pulled him out of the car. They were hot. So I'm like, what got you all built up and just angry? And then Nichols messed up because he didn't want to get on his stomach. He did not. He did not want to get on his stomach on the ground. They had him down. They had his hands behind his back. They had him on his side where he was leaning on his shoulder, but they wanted him to get on his stomach, and he's like, no. And he didn't say that outright, but you can tell by his body language, he did not want to get flat on his stomach on the road. He was like, no, I'm not into that right there. So to me, at that point, put the handcuffs on him, put him in the car, that's it. It's four or five guys standing there. How in the world does it take four, five dudes to get one guy handcuffed and in the back of a car or SUV or wherever whatever they were driving, right? It doesn't take all that. But the fact that he didn't want to get on the ground he didn't want to get flat on his stomach, they had a fit. They had a fit. And I don't know what they're doing right now for assessment. I don't know. And from the looks of the footage from the body cams, I have no idea. Like, it just seems like they don't know anything about their personalities, anything about their temperament, unless they are really great actors around the police station or doing an application process, interview process. But I'm sitting there like, man, you guys don't know really what you're doing. And then you had one of the police officers chasing Nichols once he got away from him and started running. He couldn't even catch up with him. He started running out of breath. And I'm like, okay, so not only do you not know what you're doing, you're out of shape. It's sad. And they gave these people a badge, a gun, taser, pepper spray. And send them out into the community like that. I don't know what else is going on. Like, so again, that's a solution I came up with, because I feel like the people that I've met, and I won't say all, but most of them that's in the military, they are no joke. No joke. And they care enough about where we are as a country to say, I'm going to put my life on the line to defend us. But I'm also thinking, what, like, okay, they can defend us overseas in different countries, but what happens when they come home and you got crime and gun violence and all this other stuff just going haywire? Like, what are you coming home to? So if we don't fix this problem, is it like the house is going to be burned down when they come over back home? So again, I would officially make a division, a unit, or whatever you want to call it, with people who volunteer. And if you're, especially those who are in the National Guard, in that community, it's already where they live. They're familiar with the surroundings and everything that goes on locally. And then I listen, people can vouch for them in the community as well. Because even if they're from the National Guard, we want to make sure we get the right people in charge. And I would try to handle it that way. Now, as far as money, resources, how much all that would cost, I don't know. But at this point, it seems like the money that's going into too many of these police units is just a waste. Because the personnel, it's not the right personnel. So if you all have better suggestions, of course I'm open to hear them all. Of course I'm open to hear them all. But for me, you can't take the Second Amendment off the table. Because it'll just cause more problems. And you can't stay with the current system either, with the way things are, because again, it's just getting worse. And again, too many of the police officers that are a part of these units, like, they cannot handle the job. They can't. After whatever assessment they're going through, whatever training they're going through, they cannot handle the job. So, some kind of way, we have to rethink what we're doing. We have to rethink what we're doing. And we have to make progress to where crime is actually going down. And we can stop having so many neighborhoods where it's just like you're sitting in the house and you can hear the gunshots. And where I'm at, of course, you have some parts of town where you can't get food delivered to your house. Like we're not driving, sending our delivery drivers over there. It's like no way. And every city that I've lived in has that. Like there's just certain parts of town, like you can't just say, okay, I want Papa John's and so I'm gonna get it delivered here. I'm like, no. They look at your address, like we don't deliver over there. And the thing, I was at work today, well, it was yesterday actually, I was at work. And people were saying insurance is going up. And I'm watching the news yesterday and the car insurance is going up because of auto theft. And they're putting videos on TikTok to show you how to take some of these cars, like just easily just steal them. And you got young kids going out there just watching videos on TikTok, and then they'll go out there and they'll say, oh, there's that make, there's that model, I'm gonna go ahead and steal a car. And they go for a little joyride, And then your insurance goes through the roof. And it's gotten so bad that on the news yesterday, they were saying that there's a couple of models, two, three models, that it's like a couple of companies won't insure them anymore. But like, if you got this type of car, it doesn't have the anti-theft device on it, we are not going to insure that anymore. Because the insurance companies are trying to keep their profit margins the same. So some things they're not insuring anymore, and then everybody else's rates are going up. And after we had the hurricane last year in Florida, it came down to my policy getting renewed, and I was going to start the next 6 months term. It went up by over $100 per month. And I'm like, no, this ain't going to work. I had to find another auto insurance company. I had to switch. I was like, that, But again, so many different issues going on. It's hard for me to get in the studio and just focus on work with all these problems. Because if I come on the podcast and I start talking about my artwork or a screenplay that has nothing to do with it, it comes across in my mind as tone deaf, because even as I'm talking, I'm thinking about something totally different. And so I decided this evening that it's better that I'm just straightforward with whatever I'm thinking, whatever's on my mind, just share it. And then the audience can respond with whatever's on your heart. But it's like, I would rather acknowledge the problem and work towards a solution than move forward business as usual. Because to me, it's insensitive to me to what's going on, in the rest of the world, the rest of the country. But thank you for listening. And the next podcast, I already know what I want to talk about, because I was got in contact with another organization, and they do seem interested in my work, and we finally hammered out some details yesterday. And so that was very positive. But that's a completely different subject. It's completely different. But I think it's something that other artists can take advantage of. And again, if you want to put, because it's been done before, like social issues put into your work, whether it's writing, art, performance, music, that can is you can express that in your profession, express your feelings, whatever is on your heart, however creative way you want to share it, or if you just want to vent like I am on the podcast or in a video, go ahead and do that. Because I think we just have to put all of our ideas on the table and come up with something. Because this is not working at all. The way that we're going is not working. And then I watched some of the news coming home from work. I just listened to it. Man, I tell you, for me, I'm an independent. Full disclosure, I was a Republican for a lot, like most of my young adult life. But I didn't get involved with politics and things like that. I just didn't. And then I think after I don't remember the exact presidential election, but it was the one where it was John McCain and Sarah Palin on the ticket. Lord have mercy, that felt bad. I mean, I was like this diehard Republican. Like, I didn't want to vote for any Democrat on anything, right? But that particular presidential ticket with those two, that was bad. That felt awful. I didn't like either one of them as far as candidates. So yeah, after that, I officially switched to independent. And at this point, years later, it just depends on the issue. It depends on the issue. Sometimes I agree with points that Democrats make, and then sometimes I agree with points that Republicans make, but I'm not at a place in my life where it's like one side has all the answers. Because some of the stuff each side says is just doesn't make any sense at all. So again, I'm like a issue by issue. I'm on an issue by issue basis on who I agree with. And I think that's just a general principle I go by in life. You know, because I'm not going to be right all the time. I'm sorry, I'm not. So like I said before, everyone puts their ideas on the table. We look at the pros and cons and try to come to some type of compromise. And we can't worry about who gets the credit. Just get it done. Just get things done. Because right now it's like, who gets the credit? Who gets the blame? And when something is messed up, oh, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault, it's this party's fault, it's that party's fault. That things are going terribly. And then we have Republican-led states and Democrat-led states. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I would really just get rid of political parties. So instead of us going red or blue, I would say everybody goes purple, because I think that's the color for the independents is purple. So yes, instead of red and blue states here and there, I would say the entire country needs to go purple. Get rid of the aisle, so you don't stand on one side of the aisle or the other. Everybody get around the table. Again, put your ideas on the table and do what's best for people, not what's best for you or for your investments or for your interests. What's best for people? Because everything that's done is centered around votes. How many votes am I going to get? And if we do this, how many votes am I going to lose? And so it's just about making sure that people can keep their jobs. We got to get enough votes so that we can stay in office. That's it. And once they're assured that they can stay in office for a little while longer, then it's just the actual issues are forgotten about. And we kick the can down the road. We put a Band-Aid on stuff. We put a Band-Aid on a lot of things. Instead of fixing it, we got Band-Aids on a lot of things. And the same thing happens in the studio. And I had this conversation with my sister. Gosh, I think she kind of jumped on me a couple years ago. And I probably shared it before, but I had my old equipment, like laptop, tablet that I used to have, my phone, and I had my complaints about it. And she had said this to me before, but I don't know, this last time it just struck me different, where she was like, Eric, you got to stop buying these things that are, that's going to save you money. Like, oh, I can get a discount here. I can get, you know, a discount here. And it's like, oh, I can buy this laptop or this phone or this tablet. It's not going to be that bad. And then I get it and it's like, this thing, it doesn't work as well as I want it to. And I was telling her like, well, I really want this type of phone. I really want this type of laptop. I really want this. And she was like, if you really want that, just buy it. You're going to have to spend the extra money and buy it. Otherwise, you're going to be like, well, I got to get this sort of thing fixed. And, you know, you're just going to run into these issues. And almost 2 years ago now, I finally switched my phone out. Just bought it new, paid. Oh, my gosh. I went from a $250 phone, that's how much I paid for it, to a $1,200 phone. Lord knows I was crying. I let go of my phone that was for $250. I got the $1,200 phone, and I wanted to call her and say, this is your fault. You know how much this phone cost. This is your fault. Right. That was I sat in the car and I looked at the phone. I'm like, man, this is my sister's fault. Do you know how much this phone costs? Right. 2 weeks later, not even 2 weeks later, I'm telling her this is the best phone that I have ever had. The best phone I've ever had. And from that point on, I spent the next 2 years or about 2 years replacing all kinds of stuff. And I cried a little bit about the money. I did. Replaced the laptop, replaced the tablet, start replacing furniture, redecorating the studio. I'm like just, and I'm not exactly going crazy, but I'm like, I'm going to get the best of what I can afford, right? And I finally wrapped it up, what, three weeks ago as far as the furniture for the studio. Man, I feel so much better. So much better. Not taking the shortcuts and the discounts and all that. And I found some stuff on sale for sure, right? But I got what I wanted. I just you bite your tongue or your lip or whatever, you just get it. No more Band-Aids. And it's better. So I parallel that with society. Whatever it takes to get these things resolved, just do it. Just do it. And if you see something's not working, change course. These people get into their pride, their ego. They see something's not working and they will not move. Why won't they move? Because they don't want to get on TV and say, well, the plan that I had is not working. We're going to have to do something else. So the Republicans come up with a plan that doesn't work. They don't want to come on TV and say, well, this doesn't work. What the Democrats wanted was kind of right. So they don't want to say that. Why? Because they feel like they'll lose votes. The Democrats don't want to get on TV and say, you know, this policy that we had, it really doesn't work. But the Republicans' idea on this particular issue, it was better. They don't want to say that. Why? Because they think they're going to lose votes. And if they lose votes, they'll lose their position in office. Which goes back to my point of stop thinking about your job and your political career and do what's right for people. If you do right by people, they will vote you in office. Because they'll feel like, you know what, even if you make a mistake, you'll course correct. And that's okay. It's okay. It's perfectly fine. Put together legislation. It doesn't work how you thought it was going to work. Alter it. Adjust it. It's okay to say, hey, we messed up on this one. We got to course correct. But these folks, again, get into their pride, ego. Oh, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. All this. And us as citizens, we're looking like this ain't working. Course correct. Change it. And sometimes they do change it eventually, but it takes them months, several months, maybe even years to course correct. And for some of us, we can look at the idea, like when they initially come up with some of these pieces of legislation, we're sitting around thinking this is not going to work. And then they actually put it into law or they implement it. And it's like, yeah, it's pretty much how I thought is not working. And they'll just sit and let it not work and let the problem get worse and get worse and get worse until something terrible happens. Then people start protesting and then they're like in a roundabout way, we're reevaluating the situation. Really? So at this point, we've gotten away from the whole defund the police thing. We've gotten away from that, right? Because what happened? Crime went up. Good police officers started leaving the job because they didn't want to be under the scrutiny. They needed more money to do their jobs better. Not less money. So the good police officers I've heard have been replaced by not so great police officers, or too many of the police officers that just stayed, they're not the right people for this job. But they stay because they like the power, they like the authority, they like the ability to pull people over and give them tickets and rough them up if they want to. That's their whole benefit to the job. We are going to have to, as a country, we're going to have to create a budget for the country. Because last year, everybody pays for taxes, right? Last year, they bought in over $4 trillion. Worth of revenue from us. They spent the $4 trillion and another, what, $3.5 trillion beyond that. But the stuff that the money should have been spent on, they don't spend it on that. A lot of the tax revenue, we don't know where it's going. They're terrible at keeping track of it. And then when they put money in the system, it's not distributed properly. So you got the wrong types of people getting their hands on the money and they're just spinning it up. And then the government has to turn back around, what, a year later and try to get the money back. Because it was spent how it was supposed to be spent. Oh my gosh, they don't know how to manage anything. They know how to get voted into office. They know how to campaign. But managing money and putting the money in the right places in these in these states, and then the state, from the states to the local communities, they don't know how to manage any of this stuff. Or they're doing it poorly. So across the board, this is a people issue. So I'm hoping that we, the voters, the people, put all the politics aside, right? And just, we need to start identifying who's actually running, whether it's a police unit or whether it's a branch of the government. We need to know what's going on. And I know sometimes we get bits and pieces of information, and then some of the stuff is hush hush, and then some of the stuff is just on a loudspeaker, and they're just throwing information all over the place, and you don't know what's true, what's false, and then you have truth and lie in the same paragraph. I know it's difficult, right? But we have to be more involved in what's going on. And the people who are in charge, we have to hold them more accountable. If you're going to have power and authority, you're going to have to be held accountable. But that's all I have. I'm running short on time now. But thank you for listening to my heart on this particular issue. And I know, especially towards the end, I kind of jumped around at different things. But ultimately, this is a personnel issue across the board. We have to get the right people in these positions of power. Otherwise, it's just going to be messed up. Nothing's going to get better. It's going to get progressively worse. And we want to change course and move in a better direction. I don't know anything about contacting senators or House representatives or the White House, but it's like we have to be heard and we have to make an impact. And I think we can only do that together in large numbers, consistently holding people accountable. Otherwise, if our attention is just on these shiny things that we can buy or whatever, the people in power who are really not supposed to be in these positions, they're just going to continue to do whatever it is that they're doing. And it's not going to be good for any of us. Okay, so thank you for listening, and I look forward to hearing your comments, your feedback. And also, again, as I said in the last episode, if there's anything that you want me to talk about, whether it's art, writing, even social issues, I'm definitely open to sharing my thoughts and responding to you. So thank you again, and God bless. Take care.